Okay. We've been working, Lemaisa, we've been working the whole Elul, really to get to this point, to get to the point of the Chasimas Hadin, Yom Kippur. And somebody sent me, one of the Talmidim, one of the Chashva Talmidim, sent me something that he called a meme. It's the first time I learned the word meme. It looked to me like a cartoon. Is a cartoon a meme? A meme? Okay. It was a meme, right? And it had three doorways. It had one doorway that says tshuva, another doorway that says tefillah, and another doorway that says staka. And there was a really, really long line, like thousands of people trying to get into the staka door, Baruch Hashem. Thousands of people trying to get into the tefillah door. And then there was like this empty door called tshuva. Like nobody was there. No one was even waiting online. And this Talmud, he called me and he said, we have a situation because we don't even know what tshuva is. It's like very confusing. It's very overwhelming. Right? Even saying al chait on all of these things is overwhelming. You know, when we see that, let's face it, so many things we keep doing over and over again, the things that we clapped al chait for, and it's kind of like hard to believe that we're doing anything, and then we just like sort of drop the ball. And when you're young, you're at least idealistic, you know. But when you're older, you know, one thing I don't like in gadol books, you'll excuse me for saying this, is when they give you, like, they find the kabbalas before Yom Kippur of a particular tzaddik, right? You look like, wow, like, not to walk Dalet Amos without Torah, and to make sure to smile at everyone, and like to make sure to be in total control of yourself. You know, I don't like those things, because sadly, if you know how in my house to do a little research, and you go through my Seamus, and you find little yellow papers, you're like, wow. You'll look, and it's like Rabbi Stark at 20. You read it, you'll be like, oh, he's so holy. Wow. It says, I realized that there's a beast within. And I realized that he's stopping me from getting to the relationship that I would like with Ravon Shalom. So from here forth, like that, here forth, it's even like poetic, I am Makabel not to listen to the Yetzer Hara. And not only that, if he messes with me, I will shecht him. Wow. Chapter 27 of Rabbi Stark, the life and times of Rabbi Stark, right? Garbage. And when I see these old Kabbalas, I like want to vomit. I'm like, you are such an idiot. But basically what we do, if we would sit with a pen and paper, is we vomit out all the things we would like to be. Like some people like Disneyland and like Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck, and some people just imagine that they're like Tzadik Yesod Olam, like floating around. So when Rav Yerucham wrote his Kabbalas, the reason that they're publishable is because he was Rav Yerucham. He wrote, I will do five things against my Ratzon every day, and he did it, right? But if anyone finds anything interesting about me, please spare me the shame after 120 and just keep it in Seamus, right? But there's so much frustration. When you get older, you almost like, what can I do over here? But really, it's a mistake. And we have to call this mistake out. And it's even in the davening, my friends. It's even in the Iker Bracha that we're going to say on Yom Kippur. We say the most amazing bracha. We say this, Baruch Atah Hashem, this is in our Shemona Esrei, Melech Moichel V'Soyleach, Lavonoseinu V'Lavonos Ama Beis Yisrael, Umavir Hashmoseinu, removes our Averus, Bechol Shana Vishana, every single year. Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaKippurim, right? Unbelievable. What is this bracha? I once heard from a Talmud Chacham, a chaver of mine. He asked a very basic question on this Gemara, on this bracha. The bracha is Hashem removes our Averus every single year. Like, what's this every single year? Like, what's the chiddush every single year? What? Every single year. The answer is we know why it's a chiddush. Like, you know, Hashem looks at us like Stark, like, we did this last year. You were like, I'll never say Lashon Hara again. I love the Chafetz Chaim. I'm like, here you are again. You did the same thing this year. Why should I forgive you? Hashem every year forgives us. You know what a chiddush that is? You know how much he loves us? He doesn't like start like playing games with us. Last year, every single year he gives us a kapara. So you see, Hashem even knows that we get so excited and all this, and at the end of the day, sometimes we peter out, and still every year he forgives us. But what's pshat over here? What's pshat over here? So we're going to start a little bit. I want to try to teach us. There's going to be a little bit of a sting. On the one hand, it's going to be a little bit happy. On the other hand, there'll be a little sting because we're trying to learn how to do tshuva. Really, the Rambam writes in Perek Beis, Halacha Beis of Hilchas Tshuva, that Yoyin Olav Yodei Talumos, the one who knows your inner secrets, Shelo Yashuv Lazeh Chel Olam, that you'll never do this chet again. Hashem's made on you. Wow, that's your Baal Tshuva. So you might say, well, if I do this Avera 3 weeks after Yom Kippur, so Hashem knew I was going to do it, and he doesn't accept my tshuva. Not true. An amazing diuk in this Rambam, which I heard. It doesn't say Hashem knows the future. It says Hashem knows what's inside your heart. Why doesn't it say Hashem knows the future? If Hashem really wants to know if you're going to do an Avera again, so when you're clapping Al Chet and you're so sorry, Hashem should just go into the future and see. Huh, he's going to do it again. It doesn't say that. He says he knows your inner heart, your most secret feelings that you have. The answer is that on Yom Kippur, you have to feel like a Baal Tshuva. I have to feel like a Baal Tshuva in a way that life is so clear at that moment that if anything would come my way at this point, I have such a clarity right now about what's good, what's right, about my relationship with Hashem, that I would say no to all the things that I usually don't have the courage to say no to. But I'm living with that clarity right now. Only Hashem can see that clarity. I, in 3 weeks from now, the boys get me to do something that I didn't want to do. That's something new. That's not Yom Kippur. That's something new. That's the future. Things that will come up. I remember one time when I was in senior year of high school. I went to an interesting high school, right? So I went to, in senior year, we went to check out yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, okay? So I went with two friends. One friend is now an Adam Gadol, Baruch Hashem. We were all cute little guys in high school. The other friend, unfortunately, was Porik Old Torah Mitzvah. He's barely Jewish now. Anyway, this was our group. We were going to check out yeshivas. We're going to go to Yom Kippur by one yeshiva and do this and that. I remember we were on the, and my parents were coming for Sukkot, and everybody was, they were going to all stay with me for Sukkot, and this was very exciting. We'd never gone on a trip alone. And I remember, I was not yet, unfortunately, a Ben Taira, but I remember, I was a man on somewhat of a mission, right? My other friend was also on a mission. We were on a mission to check out yeshivas. Like, we were already getting that yeshiva feeling. We knew we were going to Yom Kippur to a yeshiva. Like, we never did this before. We usually go to the local shul. And I remember this other friend, like, he was like ready, he was planning all the partying that we could do before my parents get there. And I was like, I don't remember how much he got me to do. I hope he didn't get me to do anything. I think I have amnesia what he got me to do or didn't get me to do. But I felt a tension, like, no, this is not what I had planned. This was not my Yom Kippur. Like, there's a stira over here. That means that it's something new. That means that really I wanted to do tshuva, and I was with a new problem. There was a friend who was wheeling and dealing. That's something new. What's something old? And this is going to be the little pinch over here, because I want it to be practical and honest. What if I'm planning on Sukkot already today, during Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, I'm planning to do a particular Avera. Not I'm wondering if I'm going to do an Avera, but I'm actually planning it. I'm like scouting out how I'm going to be doing this Avera and that Avera and this Avera and that Avera. So I'm giving a little bit of a pinch here because I want us to just take this seriously. In that area, we're not Bali Teshuvah because it's I'm resolved to do that thing. So what I recommend is to keep an open mind what you're doing over Sukkot. It's like, I'll tell you the funniest thing. We're prepared to be macabre for the whole year to do everything. But if I tell you, do it on Sukkot. Like, whoa, Sukkot is not part of the year. Right? So there's a little sting there. So what I'm trying to do is suggest that there should be a conflict. If a person wants to come into Yom Kippur, he doesn't have to be, we weren't all built in a day, and we all know we're not fully there. But the more we create a conflict for ourselves of how much am I on board, and am I on board, and I am on board, and maybe I should leave things open, and maybe I should change some plans like this or that, that's real solid tshuva. And if I'm not there yet, I can say, I'm not there in this area, Hashem, but I'm a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. But it's very important to be honest with ourselves, because we're not honest, the whole day becomes a mind game. Like, we're just like clapping al khair and like really, no, understanding where we are. If a person feels like he owes people money now, right? I have these books, you know, you have these books like you borrowed from someone like 5 years ago. It used to be hard to contact people. Today, just get somebody to contact them. If you don't have their WhatsApp, maybe your parents have their WhatsApp. Meaning, before Yom Kippur, let's do the things where something tangible. We're looking for things. Do we have them? Do we borrow things from people? Right? This is a very serious thing. To take it seriously. We're not malachim, but we have to try to like resolve. Do we stick our hands in people's munch? Right? People think they don't steal. Do you know how many people steal? You know how I know how many people steal? In this makom here, you know how many people have sat, not in that orange chair, because the orange chair is new, but next to where the orange chair is. And they tell me that they hate when people stick their hands in their food, take their clothes, take their shoes. They even like, people are like playing basketball with other people's shoes. Like, I thought you're good with it, right? Yeah, I'm good with it. People are momish, not respectful of other people's things. To look and say, do I have something here to deal with? And it's not like we're going to figure everything out, but at least we're in there. There's a real feeling. There's a real feeling. I have a stack of svarim that are not mine. Okay, some of them are my parents, but my parents are entitled to have a full set of mishnayos. Like, it's very nice. Like, you know, right? They're patient, my parents, but it's like, it's not mine. Right? So a little, for a person to like deal with their life, not to just jump into Yom Kippur, we still have a day. A person says to himself these types of things, and he can resolve these things. He can ask Mechila for something. It's like, yo, I always put my hand in your munch, like, or I always wear your jacket. Like, it's not right. And with that, you're done. You come in, of course there are things that will be in the future. Of course we're not perfect, but right now there's real sincerity. There's real moves. There's real change. In relationships, my friends, in relationships, there are certain people that we have to come to the table now with them. It doesn't mean we have to resolve everything right away, and some people have really tried to resolve relationships and they haven't gone. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about, have we come to the table for relationships, things to resolve with people? We're about to come to the Rabbanu Shalom, and the way it works is that the Taira, the cleansing of Yom Kippur, does not work on things that we did wrong to our friends. It doesn't work. Those stains don't come out. It doesn't have, the bleach doesn't work for those things. That's how much Hashem, by the way, loves you. You know how much Hashem loves you? He doesn't let your friend get away with Yom Kippur. This is how much Hashem loves you. If someone wrongs you, Hashem doesn't want them to get a freebie. He loves them, but he doesn't love them as much as he loves you. It's like, Stark, I love you, but if someone has beef with you, I love them in this case. And you're going to have to, I love you, but you're going to have to man up. We have to deal with our relationships. You know how many families fell apart because of a snowball effect of year after year not talking to each other, and now like they can never get back together. But if we would just zero in every year on relationships, again, we can't always resolve everything. But asking someone mechila, and by the way, mechila is not, I prepared a whole shmooze, by the way, and I'm deciding just to like speak my heart. You don't even realize how I've left the page, that's it. But you know, like when I was a kid, we would go on the bus in school. Are you mocha me, you mocha me, you mocha me? Are you mocha me, you mocha me, you mocha me? Are you mocha me, you mocha me, you mocha me? Right? Well, I have news for you. That's not anything. And it's even more than that. People come to me and they say, I want you to hear this because this is a real point. And maybe I shouldn't be telling you this, but I'm telling you to anyway. People come to me and they say, you know, I have a real grudge for somebody that they wronged me very, very badly. And you know what? And then I say to them, well, did they ask you for mechila? They said, no. They don't ask me for mechila. So you know what I tell them? And maybe you guys will think that I'm a, like, you know, I'm one of these people, you're going to throw tomatoes at me. I say, you know what? You don't have to be mochel them. You don't have to be mochel them. Like, yeah, that person really wronged you? Really, really wronged you? And they're not manning up? How in the world could you be mochel them? I want you to know, I'm not a malach. I'm a regular person. If somebody wrongs me badly, and they don't even know they wronged me, or they would laugh if I told them, it's hard for me to be mochel. Because what in the world did they do to deal with it? If someone would just come over to me like this, stark. All right, maybe they should be more respectful. Chaim Dov, right? If they're asking mechila. I feel so bad about what I did to you in high school. I can't believe I put you in a trash can. Like I've been seeing a therapist for years but he's crying. Like, yo, it's okay, right? Just $5,000 for my therapy and then we're good. That's it, right? But manning up, that's mechila. Mechila, if you want to know how to ask someone for mechila, you have to go over to someone and say, I wronged you. It wasn't right. I stuck my hand in your munch. I've been wearing your shoes. I've been going out with your jackets with just assuming that you're good with it. I was wrong. Do you know that most people just melt at that point? And they just like, the bad feeling goes away. You just start like wanting to comfort him. Like, oh, sit down, don't cry, it's going to be okay. It really wasn't so bad being in the garbage can. I loved it in there. You know, I took a snack that was there from someone, you know. But we melt. Do you know why? Because someone dealt with our pain. Someone dealt with our pain. It is true. Then if you're mochel somebody, belev shalem, who doesn't ask you for mechila, then Hashem will forgive you for your chatayim, because you're maver on your midos. However, I want you to know that I don't believe that most people are really mochel. You know what they do? They hear an inspiring shmooze about forgiving people. So then they hear that they're just going to get a free din. So they go, I'm mochel. No, you're not. If the guy was in the room, you would, if not in the first minute, in the second minute, you'd want to deck him. So you're not mochel. Don't play games with yourself. He wronged you. There are malachim in the world who believe that a human being can get so confused by his yetzer hara and see that so much and take themselves out of the picture to just so let go completely. But if we think we're there, we're cheapening what we even do to other people. We're making everything. We're even going to be, we're not going to be nice to other people because we're cheapening everything. This is real pain that we're going through. When a person comes over to someone and says that they, you know, I did something wrong, they're manning up. And if after three times, not, are you mugging me, are you mugging me, are you mugging me, but three times and whatever it takes, they don't, then it's on them, because you really, you dealt with yourself. You dealt with yourself. And this is an important thing to realize, is to be real. The Yodea Talumos of Hashem, Hashem really sees what's inside. He's not looking for a person who's going to be perfect in Tufshin Pei Beis. He's looking for a person who's sincere on Yom Kippur, who's taking this process seriously. Seriously in Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. Seriously in Bein Adam L'Makom. And if there's a stira and you realize there's a stira, you can call it out and you can even say to yourself, Hashem, I'm getting there. You know, Sukkis, I'm not ready to take that jump. But I want you to know, Hashem, I took about 30 other jumps this month. This has been the best month of my life. And I'm not ready to deal with this yet, but I recognize it's wrong. And we'll get there. And you clap al chait like with doop, doop, doop. Like a little softer, whatever you're going to do. But to be, the more real you are, don't be afraid to be real with Hashem. Be real with Him. He's a Yodea Talumos. He knows what you're thinking anyway. So don't fake him out. It's going to take too much. It's like too much theatrics. Like, don't do that. Man up. And a person is a work in progress. Nobody is able in our generation to do everything. I'm so grateful that I saw that Rav Chaskel Levenstein, who was a Malach Hashem, writes that nobody could do tshuva on Yom Kippur for everything today. And the Altar of Kelm writes, nobody can do it anymore. It's official. Nobody does tshuva on everything anymore on Yom Kippur. It's official. I, all the Al-Chetz, Akasha. Akasha. What I suggest doing in all the Al-Chetz is trying to get to a point on Yom Kippur where you realize that things that are wrong are destructive, and that with the clarity of Yom Kippur, at that moment, you wouldn't do any of these things. That's a real feeling that you could have on Yom Kippur. There's a real feeling, I believe, that all of us can get to a level where if there's a red button, we'll make a red button over here. Right? Let's make it white, actually. It'll follow the theme. Red is too depressing. A white button on the bima. Zilzul Horim Morim, insulting my parents, right? So I don't know, I always like to stick one-liners in there. But now on Yom Kippur, it says if you press that button, you'll never do that again. Do you want to press the button? By the way, that's not an easy question. Someone asks you if you want to press the button, not to ever have any shaychus with problems in Shmiras Inayim, like slow down, right? You could be happily married, right? Not that you're going to lose your taivas nashim, right? But as a bacher, if you could press a button to lose your taivas nashim until you find your wonderful Eishes Chayil, and then press another button and get it back, right? Don't do this, by the way. Don't take people, if there's a medication, do this, don't recommend it. It's going to make you not learn a tesis properly. But let's say there's a button like that. Can we get to a point on Yom Kippur where I would press it. It's not easy to press it, but I think we could. I think we could. On that day, I think we could get there. We could get there. That's a real feeling. It's a real feeling. It's a real feeling of sincerity. So, let's talk a little bit then about tshuva has to be small. If we're going to do things, real things have to be small and measurable. What does it mean, measurable? Things you can know that you could do or can't do. I'll give you an example of something that's not measurable. I will have kavana in Birchas HaTorah. So now, that's not measurable. What's kavana? How many space outs are you allowed in a kavana? It's like, for me, I get like 15 space outs, and that's gonna, right? It's not measurable. So here's the type of Kabbalah you can do. I will say Birchas HaTorah loud. That's measurable. I either said it loud, I mean, you can scream it, but I say it in a way, I say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvos V'tzivanu Lasuk B'dzivrei Torah, as opposed to, right? It's measurable. It's measurable. And what it does, by the way, is a lot of times it brings kavana, such a thing. It's small, it's measurable, and it works for something. Person can't really measure whether they're going to speak Lashon Hara. It's impossible. But you can measure if you learn 5 minutes of Chafetz Chaim a day. Small, it's measurable, and by the way, you'll probably end up speaking less Lashon Hara because of that. I've made this mistake a lot. I was working on, maybe I'll tell you something I was working on. It'll help me, maybe. I was working on Cheshbon HaNefesh. So Cheshbon HaNefesh is where you have like a little thing, a little notebook, and you try to write things that you did in the day or didn't do in the day. And I thought it would be a very easy fix, because I'm not saying I will do them, I'll just document them. You list 5-10 things, whether you did them or not, right? No, that doesn't work. You know why? Because let's say it was a brilliant idea, I thought, and it wasn't brilliant. It was very, very not brilliant. Because why? I put in there Kriya Shema Lamita, I put in there Mincha, Marav, I'm copying everything, like in Disneyland, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck again. And then what happens? I get to the morning where I do the Cheshbon HaNefesh, and lo and behold, I'm like, did I daven Mincha yesterday? Like, where, what? Like, I don't remember Mincha so many hours later, right? I'm now going to decide what I did in Mincha. I don't even remember Mincha. Like, Kriya Shema Lamita, like, Where was I last night? Like, it's like, it's good I eat the same breakfast every day. Otherwise, I wouldn't remember it. I just chazar it every day. So I know that I eat apples because I eat them every day. So I do chazara. No idea what I'm doing. Now, what I would try to do is do a cheshbon nefesh from the time that I wake up in the morning, moda ani, till shachris, to write things that happened during that time and forget the rest of the day. Hey, what happened about Milka? What happened about Mariv? No. Doesn't work. It's too big, and it doesn't go anywhere. A person can try to do a Kabbalah in a relationship. This is a chap, right? A lot of times we're thinking Lashon Hara. What about being Mekabel, not to speak Lashon Hara about a person? There's that person, right? Or to work on a relationship with a person. It narrows things down. It's much more measurable. It's much more doable. If you really don't like the person, then it might be measurable, but too big. And then you lose you got the measurable part, but you didn't get the small part. But there are people who are just annoying. You're not angry at them, you're just annoyed. You always like to send a one-liner about how ridiculous they are. Everything they do is ridiculous. But they don't really... You're not angry at them. A person can make a Kabbalah from here forth, right? Here forth. I will not make comments about this guy. It's very doable. People do this. Person who has a problem with nibble peh, they could take one word out. Not all nibble peh. If they have a problem with nibble peh, it's obviously a process. This word, I will take out. By the way, how do you pick which thing to take out? So here's a big trick that I was makabel for my rebbeim. The thing that you're most embarrassed about, let's take a nibble peh. The word that you're most embarrassed about that you say, that's the word you should take out. What does embarrassment have to do with anything? Embarrassment means, what does it mean when you're embarrassed? It means you don't feel, this is a very deep point, okay? Very deep point. When I'm embarrassed, why am I embarrassed that I say that word? Because that word is not me, and that's why I'm embarrassed. You're only embarrassed about things that are not you. If something you still feel is you, you like speak about it, you use that word freely, but then there's a word that you sometimes say, and whenever you say that, it like sort of attacks who you are, and you feel like a fool. Like, that's not me. That means that you'll be very successful in removing that word. Do you know why? Because you already feel like it's a Purim costume to use that word. The words that you're using that maybe you're fine with, so there's you don't have the conflict yet. But a person could be chozer b'tshuva in one word in his lexicon. That's an incredible thing. We just don't think this way. We don't think so creative because we're so overwhelmed by the fact that there are al-chets for everything. But we're all supposed to do things that are small, and only small things really last. Something that else that helps. Okay, this is like a clinic for tshuva. One thing that I did once when I was weak in an area was I got a chavrusa with somebody who's much stronger than me, much more disciplined than me, and I know he's going to be there for the thing. So let's say a person feels he's falling short in halacha, right? And he knows there's somebody who really likes halacha, somebody who's really dependable. Setting up a chavrusa with that guy, again, if you're going to be able to like always wiggle your way out, like, you know, sorry, my mother's cleaning lady, she moved back to Mexico, and I'm counseling my mother, and I couldn't come to the Mishnah Berurah. Like, if you're going to do those types of things, like, it has to be somebody that you feel a little awkward, like, canceling on. But actually setting up the chavrusas or these types of things is a maisa that will last. I set up a chavrusa with an Adam Gadol over 10 years ago, and we're still learning every morning. We've been through dozens, I don't want to say dozens, maybe a dozen mesechtas. We learned mesechtas bi'iyun, and it was all because of a frustration that I had that I was lacking a certain area. It was hard for me to wake up in the morning. Very hard. Very hard for me to wake up. So I needed somebody in my life that it would be so embarrassing to miss with that person. Right? And I'm such a loser that I still sometimes miss that chavrusa with the Adam Gadol. That's what a loser I am. But you know what? I have to call him every time and go, sorry I overslept, right? Usually I don't do that. I go, the kids were sick, right? That's the kids were sick, right? Or like, I was sick. I was very sick in bed. I'm like, I'm going to die if I wake up right now. Like, very sick, right? So, but I still had to make that phone call. And I do miss a bunch of times a year. But just a bunch of times a year. I'm not somebody who would have gotten up. Another thing I did, I still couldn't get up. I just want to show you how pathetic I am, and maybe other people be inspired by how pathetic I am. Anytime my alarm clock is near me, I don't wake up. Doesn't matter how hush of the person. I discovered a hush of a chavrusa, I'm not waking up. But I noticed that I'm a nice guy and I really care about my family. So what did I do? A sneaky thing. I put my alarm clock all the way at the end of my room, that if I don't get up out of bed and turn it off, I will wake up my whole family. And I love my family more than I love my sleep. And that's the only way I wake up. And any time I think that I graduated, I go to bed for an extra 2 hours, possibly. 2 hours. The only thing that gets me up in the morning after all of this time is a fear of waking up my wife and children. Right? So there are tricks over here. There are tricks to be doing. A person can set up a chavrusa. A person can set up goals. And we're in tshuva world, my friends. We're in yeshiva. Don't forget. The rest of the world, like, is running into Yom Kippur like haphazard. We're here. All of you, everyone here is a chozer b'tshuva. Anyone who's been in yeshiva and is especially in the room, and even who's not in the room, are chozerim b'tshuva. We're following a yeshiva schedule. It's hard. We're pushing ourselves. But we just have to realize that we have to have real sincere feelings and real sincere moves. We still have one day. I'm asking everyone here to think about relationships. Are there phone calls that we can make to stop a snowball effect? The guy will be floored. And there's a din v'cheshbon on that. There's a din v'cheshbon. And taking people's stuff. We can't just go, in Ne'ilah, there's a whole big announcement that anybody who stole things, like, okay, we're not going into a bank and robbing it with, like, ski masks, a maskin. But are we people who are just, like, taking things from people? Do we have things like mamish in our drawer that are other people's? Even if you return one or two of these things, you've created a whole different Yom Kippur. You're in a zone where this, like, bothers you. This bothers you. I'm telling you, I know your friends, they're not down for people taking their munch all the time. Because too many of them have come, and they're just too big of wimps to, like, stop you from taking their stuff. But when we deal with these things, it's a whole different Yom Kippur. And our year will look different. You'll see. It won't look like we're, like, flying in outer space from Kedusha, you know, of finishing everything. We're a work in progress, but we will advance Bezras Hashem, and we will be Zocha. And just to end off, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says there's something called Tshuva Mekalas, to do Tshuva from easy Averis. He says there are certain things that we do that we don't have a Yetzer Hara for Bechlal. It's just bad habits. If we find any of those, so it's Kedai to do tshuva on them, and you're considered a complete Baal tshuva in those areas. I'll give you an example. I don't always remember if I say Bara Nefashas, unfortunately, because I'm like in this perpetual drinking stage. Anyone who's seen, I drink a lot of water. It's good for my metabolism. Like, so a person's, I don't have a Yetzer Hara not to say a Bara Nefashas. Like, this is not one of my, like, I don't want to say a Bara Nefashas. Like, yeah. Like, this is my rebellion. Like, no, like, I'm happy to say a Bara Nefashas. Just, like, so confusing. Like, did I say a Bara Nefashas? Didn't I? Person says, when the cup is empty, you know, like at the end of second, or at the end of first Seder, right? Or when my thermos is finished, because I'm not going to have two thermos, I will be makabel blinader to say the Bara Nefashas then. That's called tshuva mekalas. There's no real yitzhak har for that thing, but it's this little bad habit that we have that we can take care of. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says when you find those things and you take care of them, you're a baal tshuva. You're a baal tshuva. You're coming in, and it's not hard because those things are good. One more thing, my friends. At your age, and maybe unfortunately at other people's ages, there could be a kind of tshuva where you throw something in the garbage. What do I mean? I don't have anything like that in my house, Baruch Hashem. But young people sometimes have things that bring them down. I don't know what they are. What they could be, anything or everything, right? When a person throws something out, he's made a statement for the entire next year. Because, okay, he could rebuy it, it's true. And people have done that. People have destroyed things, and then, like, they bought the better model the next year. Like, fuck yeah. Right? Maybe even on insurance. Like, they pleaded insanity, you know, and they got, like, the insurance to buy them like that. Okay. But at the end of the day, when you throw something out, you did a maisa la'asid. It's a move. When a person puts a filter on something, I heard a beautiful thing that Rav Yitzchak Berkowitz says that a person and his wife should take a filter where each one knows two digits of the four-digit code, and therefore they always have to come together to make the decision to open the filter. That's an unbelievable ga'onus. Right, I know the first two digits, you know the last two digits, and that forces us to... That's a major statement. When somebody does something like that, it's a one-time thing, but it passes. It's going to be a headache to do bad again, because you're going to have to buy the thing again or whatever it is to find. Or the things that are bringing us down, just toss it. Just toss it. And if it's a relationship that's bringing you down, toss the relationship. Could be, again, we love every Jew, but until they figure it out, you could toss the relationship with somebody if they're bringing you down. And I feel that being part of this yeshiva, I'm around such Bnei Aliyah. The nisyonos of this generation are so much bigger than I had to face, and I'm humbled by all of you, and I hope that some of this was useful for you on your journey. But for sure, we're all there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should see and smile on us and gain so much nachas and bring us a shefa of rachmim for Gemar Chasimah Tov.